Page 54, number 3. The characteristics of beings in samsara. In analyzing the characteristics of beings in samsara, two categories may be distinguished. The one is crude for those who belong to this category are united with the crude activities of the defiled mind. The other is subtle for those who belong to this category are disunited from the subtle activities of the defiled mind. Again, each category may in turn be subdivided into the cruder and the subtler. The cruder of the crude belongs to the range of mental activity of ordinary men. The subtler of the crude of the cruder of the subtle belong to that of bodhisattvas. And the subtle of the subtle belong to that of the Buddha. What characteristics of being in samsara means of various aspects of one's life fabricated by cause, nature of the mind, and fine nature of the mind. So here, I think the samsara, various aspects of human world created by the functioning of human recognition. When you colonize Tepkoru and the others, trees, birds, in other words, when you colonize objects, then you create various aspects of human life. That is here, this section tried to explain what kind of world you can create by functioning of cognition. Okay, look at this one a little bit. In this sentence I read, look at this paper. Characteristics of being in samsara is created by two kinds of consciousness, mind. Cause, nature of the mind, fine nature of the mind. So here says, the one is crude. For those who belong to this category are united with the crude activities of the defiled mind. So, look at the cause. Cause nature of the mind. I think it is subdivided into two. Cause and find. So the the cause nature of the mind of the cause. Okay. Is that clear? Create defilement united with, it belongs to defilement united with attachment. So the cause within the cause, called the cause mind of the cause, is belonging to, anyway, ordinary people. Belonging to defilement united with attachment. Okay? So this defilement united with attachment is based on self-consciousness, always selfishness there. when you see something, always there is self-attachment first, and then you think and judge, evaluate your objects. This is defilement united with attachment. So always there is a self, very strong self-attachment there, self-consciousness. Okay? So very naturally, we see the object which exist separately from the self. So before, we see the tape recorder, we believe tape recorder exists. Tape recorder exists before I see the tape recorder. Okay. So that is. That is a little bit perverted because deep understanding of human world, the whole world is created by the mind. So tape recorder is projection from human mind. That is the self-consciousness. Self-consciousness doesn't know that. That is self-attachment. Self-consciousness. Always self-attach. There is a selfishness comes first. Okay? That is called attachment. So attachment to the self. This defilement is very strongly rooted in the cause of the cause, nature of the consciousness. Okay? So, in order to be free from this cause of the cause, nature of mind, we have to practice, we have to have faith. Okay? Which is the first 10 stages of the practice, Bodhisattva, 52 Bodhisattva practice. Do you have... chart? How many people have? Yeah. I think the 52 stages of the Bodhisattva practice. Do you? Yeah. You know, how many people have? 2, 3, 4. There is a 4, so you can share. Okay.
we have. You can share, okay. One more. Four. I have a four. Okay, 52. Okay, do you please share people with the next people? So the first one, it says 52 stages of the Bodhisattva practice, all right? So this Bodhisattva practice consists of the first one, the 10 stages of faith, 10 stages of the security, and the 10 stages of the necessary activities, and then number 4, the 10 stages of transference of merits to others, and then number 5, the 10 stages of developing Buddha wisdom. And then, now next page, number 6, the stage of Buddha. This is final. Okay. Oh, excuse me. Stage of approaching Buddhahood. And number 7, the stage of Buddhahood. So this is all of 52 stages. So the first stage is the 10 stages of faith. So in order to be free from the cause of the cause nature of mind, I think we have to have practice of the 10 stages of faith. And then you can have very strong faith. So by the experience of the faith, you can go farther to another stages of the Bodhisattva practice, so-called the 10 stages of security, and 10 stages of necessary activities, the 10 stages of the transference of merits to others. Okay. Those three stages of practice, anyway, can go farther. Okay. In other words, you can progress. You can progress your practice. Without faith, you cannot progress. You cannot progress your practice. You cannot go ahead to the rest of the practices. So you need very strong faith. That's why the 10 stages of faith comes first among the 52 stages of Bodhisattva practice, okay? And then he says in this book, the other is subtle. One more is the finding of the cause nature of mind. This is this include the functioning of cognition with instinct, and unconsciousness. This
functioning of kundalini. Is this the cause, the fine of the cause nature of consciousness include the functioning of cognition with instinct and unconsciousness too. So very naturally, when you see object, well, very naturally, they are according to your instinct, you cannot ignore your object, so you have to accept. Okay. Very naturally, automatically. Okay. So that because this is characteristic of consciousness, so consciousness very naturally accept your objects. Okay. So that is with your instinct and unconsciousness, very natural, automatically you do it. Okay. So that is a very fine nature of consciousness. Consciousness is working very subtly. Subtly. And then this, the fine of the coarse nature of consciousness belongs to the defilement united with continuing mind, and also defilement united with analytical mind, defilement with and defilement united with the continuing mind. That defilement comes from, retribution of past human, the human activity in the past, maintaining human consciousness. In a sense, characterized by maintaining distribution of human actions, human activities, which you did in the past. So, defilement, defilement united with the continuing mind is the human delusion, such as maintaining the activity accumulated in one's past life, making the retribution of suffering and not suffering mature, carrying one's memories on. This is defilement united with analytical mind. The defilement united with the continuing mind. So very naturally, your consciousness working very subtly, but it's coarse. The function is coarse, but among the coarse nature of the consciousness, still mind is moving in minute way. Okay. So that is kind of a maintenance of your past activities, maintenance of your past life. Okay. And also the fine vibration of consciousness making the retribution of your past life mature. So in other words, in the bottom of your mind, there is the power of the mind carrying your whole life from day to day, completely beyond your consciousness, your judgment, evaluation, and etc. So this is very subtle,
very subtle.
So that is defilement united with the continuing mind, okay? And also defilement united with the analytical mind. Defilement united with, in order to be free from this defilement, you have to achieve the first abode of the Bodhisattva practice. Okay? That is so-called abode of the pure mind. Okay? Abode, the 10 abodes, A-B-O-D-E, abodes of Bodhisattva practice mentioned by Avasantika Sutra. So 10 stages there, okay, 10 abodes there. So in order to be free from this defilement united with the continuing mind, you have to achieve the first abode of the Bodhisattva practice. After developing the last of the three stages of the Bodhisattva practice I mentioned here, the 10 stages of security, the 10 stages of necessary activity, 10 stages of transference of the merits to others. And then you can reach the first stage, first abode, okay? Yeah, according to this chart, you can see number 4, the 10 stages of developing Buddha wisdom. This is the 10 abodes of developing Buddha wisdom, okay? So, first one say joy at benefiting oneself and others. This is the first abode. Here says abode of pure mind, the same things. The abode of this expression, abode of the pure mind, is the expression by this book, the Waking of Faith. But according to Avasantika Sutra, it is expressed in a different way. So-called joy at benefiting oneself and others. So you can reach the first abode of the developing Buddha wisdom. Okay. So after practicing for the 10 stages of security, the 10 stages of necessary activities, the 10 stages of transference of merits to others, and then you can reach the first abode of Buddha, developing Buddha wisdom. And the other defilement is delusion united with analytical mind. This is kind of automatic understanding, okay? Automatic understanding. If you see tape color immediately, you can get kind of the like or dislike coming up. Okay? If you smell something, the not good, bad, immediately you can think, you can judge, evaluate, it is not good. So automatically you can do. This is defilement united with analytical mind. Okay. So in order to be free from this is so. What would you say? The find the nature of the mind. Of the cause, nature of the mind, okay, is a kind of attachment to the Dharma object. Object, attachment to the object. In other words, you automatically think, you automatically accept. You automatically accept your past life, memories, okay? And automatically you think, like or dislike. For instance, if you like a cigar, even though I say stop thinking you like a cigar, you cannot stop it. Because automatically you can think, I like cigar. Okay. So that's kind of things. Automatically, it's habitually, it's going. So very naturally, this is called Dharma attachment. You can attach to your object automatically. So that is very subtle. Very subtle. Okay. So the cause of the cause is attachment to the self subject, okay? But the find of the cause is attachment to the object. Object means Dharma, okay? Dharma means not only the object you can see, but there is many objects which you beyond you can see or you cannot see, okay? Because your past life, distribution of your past life is something invisible, okay? But it is going constantly. And also you attach to this distribution of your past life anyway. So very naturally, even though I say you shouldn't think you like cigar, but immediately you like it. So it's very difficult. So habitually, it's gone. You attach to the object. Okay. So this mind is constantly working in a very subtle way. Okay. So in order to be free from defilement, united with analytical mind, I think we have to practice the abode of the precepts. And aboard of the formless excellent method. In other words, you have to reach the second aboard of the development of the Buddha wisdom, and also seventh aboard of the development of the Buddha's wisdom. Okay. The aboard of precepts is according to Mahayana Buddhism. Corresponds to the three collective pure precepts. Okay, so you have to, anyway, simply speaking, the three collective pure precepts are, you know, you vow to do something good, anyway, something wholesome. Okay. Second, you vow to abstain from something unwholesome. Okay. The third, you vow to help all sentient beings. This is the three collective pure precepts. So, when you practice this, you can reach second aboard of the development of Buddha wisdom. Okay. And then aboard of the formless excellent method. that you have to practice continually the formlessness of subject and object. In other words, according to Prajnaparamita Sutra, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. You have to practice. That is seventh abode. But between the second abode, and the seventh abode, I think there is a long span of time you have to continually practice. Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth abode of practice. When you practice Zazen, your mind becomes working very subtly, very calmly, being free from these defilement, okay? But when you go out of the Zazen and they join the human society and the taking care of everyday life, very naturally, unconsciously, you attach to the Dhamma, your object. Dhamma means you attach to, your life is exactly carried away by retribution of your past life and the memories, and very habitually, and automatically. So, that's why it's very difficult to be free from, these defilement in your everyday life. So very strongly, continually, you have to practice every day, taking long, long time. That's why between the second and the seventh abode, it doesn't say anything. But it takes long time. In order to be free from defilement, united with analytical mind, and united with the continuing mind. Okay. So, the book says, let's go back to the book. So the one is crude. For those who belong to this category are united with the crude activities of the defiled mind. Okay, we have finished this one. All right. The other is subtle. For those who belong to this category are disunited from the subtle activities of the defiled mind. Again, each category may in turn be subdivided into the cruder and the subtler. The cruder of the crude belongs to the range of mental activities of ordinary men. Okay, that we have finished explaining. Okay, the subtler of the crude and the cruder of the subtle belongs to that of the bodhisattva. So look at this chart. And on your right side, it says bodhisattva. The top, it says ordinary people. Okay. So from the first abode to the ninth abode, this is bodhisattva world. Okay. So, in other words, the Satra, you know, the, what would you say, sarva of the crude belongs to the bodhisattva, and also the cruder of the sattva, okay? Cruder of the saddle belongs to also bodhisattva, according to this chart. So bodhisattva practice anyway can go on and on, okay, for a long time. So let's see the cruder, here says, excuse me, let me read. The cruder of the saddle, okay, belongs to that of the bodhisattva, and the sattva of the sattva belongs to that of the Buddha, Tathagata. Bottom says Buddha. Okay. So only the sattva of the sattva belongs to only Buddha's world. Okay. So let's see the cruder of the crude. Here says coarse, the coarser of the fine, okay? Fine nature of the consciousness. It belongs to defilement disunited from the represented world of objects, and also defilement disunited from evolving mind. I think this is this defilement is very subtle, but the coarser of the subtle. In other words, this is ignorance. Ignorance. When the mind is vibrated, at the first stage of this vibration, that mind is called activating. It's activating mind. Completely beyond your consciousness. Anyway, in the depth of the human life, always mind is moving. Okay, so the first stage of the mind moving, that is called activating mind. This is called karmic mind, okay? So that is completely beyond your object, your consciousness, judgment, evaluations. So defilement disunited from the represented world of objects. So very naturally, when your mind is vibrated, very naturally, there is a subject. Okay. Subject of your mind vibrating, okay? And very naturally, if there is a subject, very natural object there. The automatically, the world is created like this. So that is defilement disunited from the represented world of object, defilement disunited from the evolving mind. Evolving mind is subjectivity, okay, of your mind, okay, when it is violated. So this is very subtle, but the coarser of the mind, the fine. So in order to be free from this, you have to reach the eighth abode of the development of Buddha's wisdom. So abode, if you reach this state, abode, you can reach abode of freedom from the world of objects. Because you can see very clearly how subtly the mind is moving. You can realize the minute vibration of your mind. Very minute. For instance, you always sit zazen, and then when you sit zazen, during zazen, you can see your breathing very calmly. But while you see calmness of your breathing, it is nothing but vibration of your mind, very subtly. So recognition of the breathing in calm is very the final, the subtler of the closer of the subtle. Do you understand? So bodhisattva, in the stage of the bodhisattva, bodhisattva cannot be free from vibration of the mind. Okay? So there is always very subtle vibration there. That is bodhisattva. And the next, okay, that is bodhisattva can reach the ninth abode, okay? So you can be free from, the bodhisattva can be free from objects, because bodhisattva can see he's on the recognition. What kind of recognition bodhisattva can experience? Okay? So recognition of the calmness is not perfect calm. It is not calm. So bodhisattva knows. So very naturally, bodhisattva can be free from the world of objects. Okay. So if bodhisattva see the tape recorder, automatically the bodhisattva can accept this tape recorder. But he knows how subtly mind working. Means accepting bodhisattva automatically or habitually in with calm mind. This is not perfect calm mind. It is already disturbed by vibration of the mind. So very naturally bodhisattva can see the tape recorder, but as soon as possible bodhisattva, leave it alone. So pass by. So that is freedom from world of objects. Okay? And also subject too. Okay? So bodhisattva don't attach to the object and also subject. He knows very clearly who he is. He knows very clearly his own recognition, okay? Recognition. That's why he can, if he reach the ninth abode of developing the Buddha wisdom, very naturally he can be free from the mind abode of bodhisattvas. In other words, subject. He can be free from the mind. Okay? In other words, subject.
subjectivity of the mind. So that is very subtle, very subtle. So no matter how long you try to understand the calmness, you, even though you think, I am very calm in Zazen, it is not perfect calm. It is vibration of the mind. Then, next, this is a Buddha's word, the finer of the fine nature of the Buddha mind. This is a final abode, goal. This is a Buddha stage, Buddha's abode, Buddha's world. Okay. That belongs to the defilement disunited from the basic activity, activating mind. Activating mind is karmic mind. Okay. Constantly there is going. Activating mind is constantly moving. And this is a very, very subtle. Okay? Very, very subtle. In other words, I mentioned before, Bodhisattva can realize the truth that recognition of the calmness is not perfect calm. This is a vibration, okay? Very subtle vibration of the mind. But how can you be free from this fine vibration, minute vibration of the mind, which Bodhisattva recognize that his calmness is not perfect calmness? In other words, it is because calmness, perfect calmness, is not something you can see objectively. If necessary, there is some space between you and calmness. This is already dualistic. The perfect calmness is you must be exactly one with calmness. So at that time, there is no chance, no opportunity to see or to know objectively. So it's very difficult to know. No chance, no opportunity to realize, to recognize perfect calmness when you are in calmness. No. So, how can you be free from very minute vibration of the mind? No chance. No opportunity. By dualistic sense. No. No way to be free from. So, there is no way to be free, no technical, no dualistic way to be free from this minute vibration of the mind. No. So finally, the unique way of being free from this very minute vibration of the mind is you just stop vibrating. That's it. Means you put yourself right there. That's it. So very naturally, finally, the Buddhism always says, don't do it. When you suffer from delusion during Zazen, how can I be free from thoughts and etc.? Stop it. That's it. You, instead of expressing of stopping the thought, thinking, Then teacher says, let the thinking do zazen with you. In other words, stop the thinking of being free from thinking or not thinking. Completely stop it. Okay? So all you can do is just do zazen. Okay? That's it. No technical way. How can I be free from delusions? For instance, we don't have a money. You don't have a money, but you are really have a very strong. You have a very strong desire to run a business. Okay, so you suffered a lot from this situation. How can I do? How can I run a business? So you ask teachers, how can I do? I want to have a strong desire to run a business. Otherwise, I don't want to live in this world, okay? And then the teacher said, do you have money? You said, no, I don't have money. If you don't have money, how can you run a business? But he says, that's why I want to have a business. Even though I don't have money, but I want to have a very strong desire to run the business. And then the teacher says, stop it. Then you say, I cannot stop thinking. I cannot have having this desire to run a business. Okay? How can I be free from this strong desire of being free from this desire? No, excuse me. How can I be free from this strong desire to run a business? No way. Teacher cannot. Nobody help. No. So, finally, teacher says, that's your business. It's not my business. If you don't stop, if you don't give up, how can I help? So all you can do is, you don't have money, and you want to have a strong desire to run a business, but to stop it, that's it. Who can stop? You can stop. So I cannot help at all if you don't. If you continually try to find a certain intellectual or reasonable way to run the business or to stop, to be free from this desire, no way. Okay. No way to be free from this desire. So all finally, what you can do is very simple practice. Stop. That's it. So precepts, we can have the three triple treasure and the three collective pure precept, 10 prohibitive precept. This is, if you discuss about these precepts, always arguing, lots of arguing, I like or I don't like, and this is moral sense or not moral sense, and I don't want to follow the formality, etc. I want to be free from those, anyway, and formalities, the precepts, the disciplines, etc. How can you be free from? No way. But a precept, pure precepts, and a triple treasure, three collective pure precepts are something you just follow. That's all. I cannot push you, okay, to follow. I cannot give you any particular reason or particular way, intellectual or reasonable or moral way to follow, in order to make you satisfactory. No. all you can do is finally keep your mouth shut, just to follow. That's it. This is the final goal. Why? In order to develop, in order to reach the Tathagata Buddha's world, peace, harmony, nothing else. So, peaceful, harmonious life is very simple. Very simple. That is this mentions here, okay? The finer of the fine nature of the consciousness. It's very subtle, perfect practice. That simple practice always. This is a board of Tathagata, Buddha's word. Okay. Okay. Do you have questions? In other words, the Tathagata. Okay, do you have questions?
Could you explain defilement?
Defilement? The delusions. Thoughts, many ideas. And defilement means delusions, we can say. Hindrances. In many ways. Hindrances are not only the bad, something wrong, but also good, something good, okay. And something wrong, or anyway, hindrances. Okay. That is the defilement, okay. Which is something created by movement of the mind. Okay, it's very, it is. Very wide sense. In a wide sense, defilement is not something only wrong things, including good, because already there is a self attachment there. Self attachment, dharma attachment there. Okay. So defilement is always created by self consciousness, self attachment. And dharma attachment, yeah. Okay. Habitually, very habitually. But human beings don't realize that point. But that is called ignorance. Okay. Any other question? We can go a little more.
Intention?
Yeah. Who is it?
I don't see it here exactly.
Oh. Intention. Yeah. You mean a will?
Intention.
Oh, intention that the, what is the intention of this paragraph?
Yeah,
the section?
Oh,
that means the characteristic of beings in samsara, the creating the human world. We creating human world, the various aspects of human life fabricated by functioning of your cognition. What kind of various aspects of human life you can create by cognition. When you see something, okay, tape or object, there is a relationship between you and the object. This is a cognition. Okay? And then you can create different world, various world.
So what kind of world you can create? Okay. This is the intention of this chapter. Anybody can say?
In Mahayana Buddhism, you say Buddha isn't outside of samsara, right? Or inside and outside. But Theravada, they might say outside. Does this chart take that into account, like Buddha, the characteristic of being in samsara? So it's the subtle of the subtle, but still not outside of samsara. But still, even though inside of samsara is quite different.
Well, you can say inside and outside.
Right.
This is Buddha's world. But if you try to explain, maybe you can say like this, you know, according to this chart. Okay. And then very naturally say inside, well, where is the Buddhist world? Inside of the world or outside of the world? You can discriminate. But actually, Buddhist world is not inside, not outside of the world. Well, if I explain the next, ignorance, I think you can know. A little bit, little clear understanding. Michael, is that all right? Cognition is basic subjectivity, which is your mind, okay? In order to make the cognition exist, so your mind is here, okay? And then you can have a relation with your object. So your object and your mind is also our boss, called the world of the mind. Okay? World of the mind. That's a little bit is complicated. Okay? But how your mind is working, that is cause. Yes, mind is divided into two, the cause and causer, and also final. And still, within the causer, that the cause nature of the mind, still there is still subdivided into two, okay? Causer of the cause, the final of the cause. That is functioning of your mind. It's functioning constantly like this. And also causer of the fine. And the final of the cause, the fine. This kind of mind. So you can realize how, you know, minute your consciousness is always vibrating. So that's what finally, we don't know how to make your mind perfect calm. Particularly in Zazen, you can see. Because you don't know. Because you don't know when you become one with the breathing or when you become one with the Zazen. You don't know. Because constantly mind is poking, you poke your mind into it, so you can always see the calmness or oneness itself. But it's not perfect. So finally, what is the perfect calmness itself? This is our human world, okay? Various aspects of the human world coming up constantly. That is a defilement, you see. It's connected various defilements here, nations, okay? Difference is that difference is that the standpoint where you this difference is the point where you are standing, human world or Buddhist world. If you emphasize human world, human life, very naturally you have to talk about long the bodhisattva the life which they last for long the period of times, okay? But when you see the human life in terms of Buddhist world, wherever you may go, always you are present in the realm of the Buddha's hands. So you never get out from. So you are Buddha. So whatever you do, wherever you may go, you are Buddha. So all you can do is not get something at the different world or different stage of the world, or not try to accept or not accept of the world. What all you can do is you just manifest yourself as a Buddha every day. So it's simple, but on the other end there is a bodhisattva practice. That bodhisattva practice behind the Buddha's practice, okay? That is bodhisattva practice becomes a kind of a deep aspiration for practicing forever. Not in your lifetime, forever. So that is a bodhisattva practice. Buddha, you can see the Buddha's life. Then you can have a bodhisattva vow. So Buddha's and the bodhisattva practice is same thing, different aspect. But if you always emphasize human life, okay, you have to go for a long time, okay? So constantly you have to analyze human life, and you have to reach the first stage, second stage, etc. Constantly.
Excuse me, it's 20 minutes.
20 minutes? So quite different. So it's all okay.
I mean, if you were always residing in this abode of Tathagata, is there a sense of vow?
What is the point you want to ask?
Well, we always emphasize bodhisattva. Before you stop, be bodhisattva and don't go on to become Buddha. That's what I've read. And they make it seem like the Buddha doesn't have a vow to save all such a being. The Buddha just is. So that's what it is.
In terms of the Buddha, then you become bodhisattvas. Bodhisattva practice is to manifest the Buddha's life, not to manifest human life. That's why we say bodhisattva.
So bodhisattva is functioning.
Yes, functioning of Buddha every day. Beyond whether you accept human life or not, if you just manifest Buddha's life, Buddha's word, that is, at that time, you are called bodhisattvas. So if you use a bodhisattva, the bodhisattva comes closer to the Buddha. Same thing. So there is one piece of paper with two aspects, if you explain. In other words, when you manifest your life as a bodhisattva, the other Tathagata, Buddhas, okay, in your everyday life, then you can say bodhisattva. But when you manifest your life as a bodhisattva, backed by Buddha, based on the Buddha, Buddha is very calm, just as it is. So bodhisattva should be backed by Tathagata. And then the Tathagata appears. When the Tathagata appears, your whole personality just in security, in calm, there. That calmness, security, spiritual security, comes from the whole total personality. That's it. It's calm. It's very quiet. But you don't know how to express. So all you can do is just be there. Just be there, human being, but it's not human beings. It's something there. That is total personality. So Buddha Tathagata is a total personality if you use different expressions. Then we can analyze. After we touch his total personality, then we analyze who he is. That then, when you start to ask who he is already bodhisattva, walking in the human world. So you can say, oh, he is such and such. So very naturally, he or she becomes a person you feel very close. But when he or she becomes Tathagata, you cannot touch it. Okay? It's very stable, calm. So you try to touch, but you can't touch it. But you are exactly absorbed into it. Okay? You become one with him or her. Very nice. That is the impressions. That not impressions. That's what to say. Edification, you are automatically or automatically you are edified by this Buddha. So Buddha and Bodhisattva say. Let me say the 10 minutes. 10 minutes?
I'm confused, I guess. What time are we supposed to start? 5:45.
Okay.
It's 5:45.
Next on the page, I will explain a little bit the ignorance, okay? This is constantly this book mentions the ignorance, but from now on, this book mentions what the ignorance is, how ignorance connected with the truth. So truth and ignorance anyway very related very closely, very closely. That is this book mentions from now. So next.